Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. The first shared robotics workspace in the country opened in Boston's Seaport District today. It's called Mass Robotics, and it allows emerging companies to share equipment to try to keep up with the latest technologies. The workspace's executive director, Tom Ryden, says he wants to help companies stay and grow here.
Massachusetts has one of the strongest robotics community of anywhere in the world. And there's probably around 150 or so companies generating a couple of billion dollars worth of revenue on technology being developed right here in Massachusetts.
A recent report from the Massachusetts Technology Collaborative says the innovation sector, which includes biotech, software, and electronics, created more than $200 billion in economic activity in 2014. And some say the field may be reviving manufacturing to some extent. Elizabeth Reynolds is the executive director of the MIT Industrial Performance Center. She says many of the jobs of the future will be in advanced manufacturing, combining information technology with advanced machinery. She's written about this for the Boston Globe, and she joins us to talk more about it. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you, Deb.
So let's start. What is advanced manufacturing?
Well, it's an interesting time where we've had a lot of development in IT, right? That would be cloud storage, big data, high-speed computing, and we're combining it with advances in machinery, so robotics, which you just mentioned, as well as sensors. And when we put these together, along with new materials and new processes, nanoscale manufacturing, et cetera, we see an enormous amount of opportunity for manufacturing. We see a complete change in the way we've made things before. We used to have a sort of linear process. Inputs go in, product comes out. Now we have a much more integrated feedback loop in which machines are talking to each other, they're talking to the cloud, factories are talking to each other. It's a very exciting time. Hmm.
And so what kinds of jobs do you think might come out of that then in terms of manufacturing or advanced manufacturing jobs?
Well, what we see, it really affects a lot of different industries. So you name it. In this region, we see aerospace, defense, biopharmaceuticals, medical device, and all of these places, what's changing is that manufacturing jobs now will have much more of a data component to them. So in the past, where we were largely just using machinery to make equipment, now we see data through sensors being used in all sorts of ways, so that the jobs that people have will perhaps be still technicians' jobs, but they'll have to figure out how to be using computer skills. They'll have to have some data analytics. And that will happen, I think, in every area that we see new manufacturing coming online.
In your article, you go through some examples of Massachusetts companies actually doing this. Can you talk about some of those?
Yes. I think, like others, I have felt a certain anxiety. We talk about the future of work, and people are constantly talking about automation and what's going to be around in the future, are robotics taking our jobs. And so for me, it's really important to look on the ground and see, well, what's going on? What do we understand about firms and industries today? And what I found in three cases was significant investments by firms in manufacturing in the region. And we're a high-wage, high-cost region. So the question was, well, why are they doing this, right? So in the three cases I looked at, one is electronics manufacturing. Here we are, a Dutch company looking to open up its first U.S. manufacturing facility, and it chooses Massachusetts. And it chooses it because we are innovative, because we have talent, and because it also has the capabilities through its automation, through its robotics and software capabilities, to invest in this kind of place and create at this point at least 150 jobs.
But then are you saying then that you have to pay higher wages to people? So are we not talking about sort of the manufacturing jobs of old? We're talking about skilled, sort of higher paid types
of
jobs.
That's right. In fact, the skill sort of bar, if you will, is getting higher, and it's getting higher across the board. What I found in the case I just mentioned and in biopharmaceuticals as well as in clean energy is that two-thirds of the jobs that they will be creating, new jobs for the region, will require at least a 4-year degree. So we're looking at college-educated workers coming into these manufacturing facilities. Importantly, one-third do not and will be, you know, two-year degree holders. And I think it's important for us to realize that what I heard from some of these CEOs, that more important than the degree is really the mindset of the worker. So what I heard people asking was, workers of the future have to be curious. Are they curious? Are they able to use their judgment? Are they engaged in continuous learning? Are they flexible? And that's the kind of workforce we're going to need for these jobs.
You know, it's interesting. There was a recent article in the Wall Street Journal about so-called soft skills, right? And many employers saying they cannot find enough workers who have critical thinking, good communication skills, can be a team player, can get along well with others. And that is really what's hampering the workforce. I mean, is there something in what you're saying, and maybe you don't know this, you know, because you haven't looked at it, but is there something also about Massachusetts where maybe we have workers who are good at soft skills that might be able to work in this, you know, advanced manufacturing kind of thing? Or what do you think about that?
Well, that's a really interesting question. I mean, I think that we've had, on the whole, we have a very highly skilled workforce. And what's been really impressive about the Massachusetts economy has been the transitions through business cycles, you know, the ups and downs through transitions technologically, where the workforce has adapted and where we have had skills sort of transition from one field to another. And I think, you know, we obviously have a very strong educational background here or system. What we know to be true going forward is not only are those soft skills important, but also we're going to have to be introducing more of the computer-related skills and STEM-related. So really from kindergarten through 12th grade.
That's what I was going to ask. How early do we start introducing these?
In fact, they're already doing this in some states. But where we, everybody at an early age knows what coding is and it wants to become a coder. I mean, this is the kind of mentality we have to start to introduce in the next generation.
So you're not saying change vocational education or anything like that necessarily. You're saying, you know, make sure that we're all aware from a very early age.
Well, we're all going to have to figure out how to work in the digital workplace, across the board. But in fact, I think vocational and community college education is critically important for helping with this kind of education and with preparing the workforce for these jobs going forward. So I think we are doing a good job focusing on those and trying to particularly connect them to the firms and to industry, thinking about apprenticeships, thinking about ways in which we can start to integrate work experience with education for these workers of the future.
You know, you started out by saying your concerns about automation, and we know that jobs have been lost because of automation. What do the numbers suggest about that, and what do the future projections look like?
Well, that is, I think that we certainly know that we have lost what we call middle-skill jobs in our economy, that jobs that have are more prone to routinization or have, you know, identified patterns are more easily automated. And, artificial intelligence can read things more easily and more quickly than you and I can. So we have seen the shrinking of the middle-skilled jobs and the middle class because of that. I think going forward, there is a sense that we will continue to see some of this substitution automation for these jobs. At the same time, I think we also see opportunities for complementarity. So that, in fact, automation will be a way in which it'll enhance a lot of our work and enhance the ways in productivity of our workers. And I think, you know, it's hard to say what the scale will be. There's really estimations that go from, 20% to 50% of jobs and across at least, 30% across a lot of different industries. But I think we can't really imagine what the possibilities are in terms of the growth and the productivity and the outputs. I mean, I think when we think about these new products and services that are going to be hybrid and, a hybrid of sort of hardware and software, it's truly astounding. So I'm hesitant to put any specific numbers on this.
And in the last minute we have, I want to ask you this question. So I know that's going to be challenging. Okay. But how do you think your ideas fit in with President Trump's ideas about manufacturing and bringing back manufacturing jobs?
Okay. Well, I'm thrilled that we're talking about manufacturing in the country. I think that's positive, and I think we've never had a better time to think about the opportunities in this country. I disagree with the idea that we're going to bring back jobs through threatening companies. I think we're going to have to grow them here using our innovation, using our talented workforce.
All right. Elizabeth Reynolds, Executive Director of the MIT Industrial Performance Center and a lecturer on innovation and economic development in the Department of Urban Studies and Planning. Thank you, and thanks for answering that in less than a minute.
Thanks, Deb.
Stay with us. Coming up, a memoir of love and loss in the early days of the AIDS epidemic. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.